guilty, not guilty. Nope, you broke the rule, that's it. And now God's got it out, he's out to get you, right? Well, that's not right. And that's not God's intent. And when he gave Moses the first five books of the Bible, when Moses recorded the history of the world, the history of the Jewish people, it was to teach them, and then today to teach us, how to know God, to teach us God's heart for us, that we might trust him, because the breach in our relationship, we were made to know him, and that breach began when Adam and Eve decided to not trust God, but to trust in something else, the message of the serpent, to trust in their own desires, in their own passions. And so God is calling us back to walk in faith with him, and the whole Bible, the whole message, Old Testament and New Testament, is about faith. It's about trusting in the God who made you, who loves you. And so Joshua, when we come to Joshua, he's first mentioned in that second book of the Bible, Exodus. Exodus chapter 17, we're introduced to Joshua, and he goes out. He's called Moses' servant. Moses also is called a servant. God calls Moses God's servant, and it's the same word. It's also a word used to describe what the priests do in the temple. They're serving God. They're ministering to God. And so Joshua is basically an intern. He's Moses' executive assistant. He's Moses' servant. He's learning the job. He's helping Moses, and he's there doing whatever Moses is doing. He's doing it with him. That the Amalekites attack in Exodus 17, and Joshua is sent out by Moses to fight. And Joshua learns right there that the victory is not man's victory. The victory that he needs is the victory that God gives. And so you could read Exodus 17 and learn with Joshua how God gives victory. And so Joshua learns that. That's the first lesson he's learning. He goes with Moses up to Mount Sinai with the 70 other elders, and they see the feet of God. They feast with God. Moses then goes up alone to receive the law from God, the instruction, and Joshua goes with him. Joshua is waiting for Moses while Moses is up there. Moses goes into the tabernacle later on and meets face to face with God. God speaks to him as a man does, face to face. And what does Joshua do? He's right inside the door of the tabernacle, right? There's therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of all of your feet treads, I have given to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you, Joshua, all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time in his word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Lord's Day, Lord, for Sunday mornings when we remember that you rose from the grave on this day of the week. And we gather here to sing your praises, to stir one another up and encourage one another as we gather as the body of Jesus Christ, as we look to our head, you, Lord Jesus, and as we remember you and read your words, we ask that you, Lord, would open up our hearts, open up the eyes and ears of our hearts, so that we might understand you, be made more into your likeness, and just walk more closely, trusting in you today and tomorrow and throughout the week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to learn about faith this morning, and maybe you're in a place of discouragement. Maybe you're in a place where just to hear the words of anyone say, just trust in the Lord, might seem a little trite or a little distant. How am I supposed to trust God in my situation? Well, we're going to look and see a little bit of what that looks like today, and we're really going to continue to learn about what faith looks like, victorious faith, courageous faith. We're going to see what that looks like as we study the entire book of Joshua. So our first point this morning is God encourages you to believe. And that is the command that Moses received in Deuteronomy 3 when the Lord tells Moses to encourage Joshua. Warren Wiersbe, who went home to be with the Lord this last week, a famous teacher and pastor, he describes courage as to put heart into somebody, someone who's lost heart. You're kind of pumping that heart back up, and you're filling up what was empty. He also quotes General Andrew Jackson, who said that one man with courage is a majority. And I think maybe you've found that to be true when you've taken a step, a courageous step. It's amazing how when you decide to do something, when your heart is pumped back up and you take this step and you're, I can't tell you how many times I'm not a pilot, but I would imagine if I were to be a pilot and I'm on that solo flight, I do remember the first time I flew and being a little nervous, and then you're up in the air and you look out the window of the airplane and you're thinking, wow, this works, I'm flying. That solo flight is that moment when courage moves from faith to, from I hope I can do this, to wow, we're doing this. Look, we're going. I remember as a young teenager wanting to be independent of my parents, being really nervous about how life's going to work, where are the finances going to come from. And so the training wheels went on and I went to college, and you know, that's kind of independent, but kind of not really. It really happened when I got married and we had our own home and we had our own bills to pay. And it was, again, that sense of flying solo. I'm responsible. I get to make these decisions. And there was both job and pay the bills, raising kids, and seeing that God does provide as life progresses step by step, you see that this really does work. When you refuse to take the step, when you don't have courage, you get stuck. You don't go forward. And God is encouraging Joshua to believe. God wants to encourage you to believe. He's not just some faraway God who's telling you from some remote island, hey, suck it up and just believe what I said. God is actually with you, and God has been with Moses, and God brought Joshua up on this path of training. And one of the first steps of faith Joshua got to take, we find in Numbers 13 and 14. The people are out of Egypt for maybe a year, maybe a little more. They come to the Jordan River, and Moses sends 12 spies into the land to check it out. One man from each tribe. And there's a man named Hoshea, who's from the tribe of Ephraim, and he's listed as one of the 12. And when you get to the bottom of the list in Numbers 13, it says that Moses called him Joshua. Joshua's name was Hoshea, which simply means salvation. Moses sees something in him, and I think it's probably this moment, and Moses changes his name not just to salvation, but to Yahshua, which is the Lord is salvation. And this also is Jesus' name. When Jesus was born, the angel told Mary to name him Joshua, the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. When these 12 men crossed the Jordan River, they went in, they spied out the land for 40 days. They came back and brought this report. The land is flowing with milk and honey. It's great. It's so great, we should not go into it. The cities are great. The armies are great. The giants are great. They're too great for us. And two of those 12, Joshua and Caleb, opposed those 10. They were the minority. And yet, what General Jackson said is true, that with courage, you're not a minority. You're the majority. They said, the Lord will keep his word. The Lord will fight our battles for us. And they warned the people, trust God. But the people refused, and they wanted to go back. Rather than trust God, they had a barrier, and barriers to faith are fear and flesh. The people were afraid, and they decided that their faith was going to be determined by what they saw with their eyes rather than what they heard from the Lord with their ears. And they decided for themselves what was true and what was false, and they said, we will die if we go there. The Lord will not protect us. They would rather go back to Egypt. God had been encouraging Joshua up to this point to trust in him. Joshua had already seen that if you trust in the Lord, he gives victory. Joshua and Caleb stood their ground, and the people wanted to stone them, but they stood their ground, and the Lord's heart got a little angry at the people. Those 10 other spies, they died. That rebellious nation that wanted to go back, God said, for every one of those 40 days that the spies were in the land, you're going to spend 1 year in the wilderness, and everybody over the age of 20 is going to die. I'm not going to take this generation forward because you refuse to go forward. I'm going to deal with the next generation. The rest of you, too bad. If you don't trust, you can't move forward. And so faith does not look back. Joshua, in this leadership transition, is moving forward. fulfilling some of it when David and Solomon are king. But even in history today, the kingdom of Israel has not flowed into all of this territory, going into what is today Saudi Arabia and up into the land of the Hittites is Syria, south, north, and east. That we're still waiting for this day. So we're still waiting for some of these promises to unfold, but God has given this to Israel. Every place where the inner part of your foot, that's what he's describing, the sole of your foot, where that treads, who else did God make this promise to? He made this promise to Abraham. You're right. God told Abraham, and now this promise is being passed down, and it's given to all of Israel. The you that he talks about in verse 3 is you all of you, where you walk, I'm giving this to you. And he describes the geography. And then in verse 5, he says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. So Moses is dead. Joshua is called to arise and to lead the people into the land. God gives us Jesus to follow, just as Israel had first Moses to follow and now Joshua to follow in Joshua chapter 1. God has given Moses and Joshua and other leaders, Samuel, David's sons, to Israel. And every time Moses, a Moses-type leader, is given to Israel, the people in the nation would be looking at that person very closely, because there was a prophecy that Moses wrote down in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy 17, you don't need to turn there, I'll read it to you. Moses writes this. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from among your countrymen. You shall listen to him. This is according to all that you have asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on that day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again from the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, or I will die. The Lord said to me, they have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among your countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I have commanded. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. So the people know that Moses said, hey Israel, one day there's a prophet who's going to be coming, and he's going to be like Moses. You better listen to him, because if you don't, your life is forfeit. You turn that around the other way. If you listen to him, you'll live. So the people of Israel looking generation after generation for these leaders. And ultimately we know that Jesus is the prophet that Moses was talking about. We talk about Jesus. He's the greatest prophet. He's the greatest priest. He's the greatest king. All of these offices that the nation of Israel had are bound together in the Messiah, in the promised one, and that is Jesus Christ. And Joshua is, just like Moses was a picture of the one that God promised, Jesus, the coming one, Joshua then, that mantle passes on to Joshua. And throughout Jewish history, the whole story of the Old Testament is this mantle of authority being passed down from ruler to judge to prophet to priest. Different people are carrying this, and they become what we call a type, a picture of Jesus Christ. And what's exciting about this is in verse 5 and 6, after describing the geography that's going to belong to Israel, and the you is y'all. God speaks Texan. So God says, I'm going to give y'all all the land where y'all's feet land. And in verse 5, he says then, and he changes the y'all to a singular you. He says, no man will be able to stand against you, Joshua, all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you, Joshua. I will not fail you, Joshua, or forsake you, Joshua. So it's a singular you. And why is this important? Why are details like this important? Again, he says it in verse 6, and it answers our question for us. Be strong and courageous, for you, Joshua, shall give this people possession over the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. This is Joshua's commission. This is Joshua's personal command, that the personal victory that Joshua has is going to be the national victory for Israel. And just like Joshua is personally commissioned to bring victory to the nation, Jesus Christ was personally commissioned to have victory over sin and death, so that if you follow him, he will bring that victory into your life. God gave Israel victory through Joshua. God salvation is going to be tied up with doing something to that person or getting something back from that person. Maybe it's revenge. Maybe it's extricating that person from your life. But that's not the victory that God brings. Why do you want your victory to be tied up with somebody else? Because victimhood, you know, there's always going to be another person doing something to you. Victimhood, its icy fingers will never let you go. Or if you define your crisis by your situation, and you say, I'm stuck here, if my situation would only change, then victory would come. My friend, victory then will never come to you, because you're always going to be looking at your situation. Because in the storm of this world, there's wave after wave that's going to come crashing upon you. And if you define victory by getting out of this storm, you're going to be waiting a long time. You need to acknowledge that the only victory that works is the one that Jesus Christ provides. Satan wants you to feel defeated. But, you know, Satan has been defeated. And if you, under the slavery of sin, Satan was a sick and sadistic taskmaster. That picture of Egypt is the Bible's picture of sin and the bondage of sin. Why would we submit to that yoke again? Some of us are on that treadmill of performance. Where, you know, maybe you're not blaming somebody else. Maybe you're going to refuse to be a victim, so you're going to work yourself out of it. Your pride is telling you can earn your way. You don't need the people around you. You don't need help. Some of you do want to crawl into a hole and give up. Some of you want to be alone. We're called to gather together, to be the body of Christ, to link arms and walk with one another, but not so that we save each other, so that we encourage one another to set our eyes on our Savior. This promise, well, this command to be strong and courageous in verse 6 is based on this one thing. For it is, God tells Joshua what Moses told Joshua, what Moses told Israel, what we read this morning already in Deuteronomy. I will be with you, God says. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. This promise is made to Joshua here. It's made to the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy, and it's reiterated to you in Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, the promise given to us is the same. The author in Hebrews encourages us to, before he quotes this, he says, be free from the love of money. Don't rely on anything else. Physical wealth, worldly resources. God's promise is that he will be enough for us. We will not experience that if we do not believe he is enough. Israel did not believe God was enough when they first came to the Jordan River, so they did not experience it. It's interesting in Numbers 13 and 14, when you read this, God punishes Israel. They hear the punishment that they're going to pass away, that they're not going to make it into the promised land. And what's their response? Oh, we repent. We're so sorry. Lord, yes, we trust you. We're going to cross that river. We're going to go fight those battles. Let's go. And they arm themselves. They pull themselves up by their bootstraps, and they cross the river. And what happens? They face military defeat. It's just a short little few verses, and they come back licking their wounds. Moses is saying, don't do it, guys. God's not going to be with you. That it's walking in faith is not performance. What God is looking for is a heart that wants to be near God. Wherever you are in your life, draw near to God, like Joshua outside the tabernacle. You want to, I mean, some of us need to find that person who something to do.